الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It's good with you and welcome, brothers and sisters, friends, to the Islamic Circle. Islamic Circle meets every Saturday at 3 o'clock with the intention of introducing Islam, mainly to those who don't know the religion of Islam and would like to know more. So alhamdulillah, we have a chance to have a few guests. Extra guests with us today. Inshallah, we'll be talking this week on an important subject which I thought was appropriate: Islam, the misunderstood religion. We have to first of all explain and make it clear that even though there are great similarities and great connections and relationship with Muslims and Jews, and in fact we believe that our God is one God, but there is also a difference. Islam, of course, unless you know what it is, will remain a foreign, strange religion. Until you seek knowledge of it, then you may find that there is much more in common than you first thought with Christianity and Judaism, but at the same time, it is distinct. I remember before I read the Quran, I had very strange and dark ideas about what Islam was and who Muslims were. It always appeared to me to be alien people, enemies, fighting images of barbaric punishments, etc., etc. But of course, the problem for most non-Muslims is that they judge Islam according to what they imagine it is, and not from their actual study of Islam. Many already begin with a great confusion as to what religion is supposed to be. Who is God? And this confusion is part of the complex backdrop of ancient beliefs and geopolitical history and 20th century secularistic philosophy, which creates and constitute the foundation of modern Western thought. So there is a great confusion in the mind of many people today as to what religion is. And so they would then interpret Islam and try to look at Islam from that position. If they don't know what Islam is, it's also likely that they don't know what their own religion is. That's usually the case. So for these people, there is some kind of contradiction they have found in their own evaluation of religion and believing in the supreme being. One of the contradictions they come up with: how come that there can be a God who allows so much killing and corruption and mischief to take place in this earth? Has he no power to stop this? That is one of the greatest comments and criticisms which a lot of non-Muslims have about trying to come to terms with the presence and the existence of God, who is over everything and has power over everything. they can't believe, because of their problem in trying to make sense of this apparent contradiction. So most misconceptions are based on people's lack of knowledge and confusion about basic areas which Islam comes to clarify. First of all, as we said, the misconception about God Himself. That is mixed up again with some of the teachings of their own traditional faith, ancient beliefs, sometimes superstitions. So many things mixed up. Also, they have confusion on another very important area. Who is supposed to speak on God's behalf, even if they do accept the existence of an all-wise creator? Then who is supposed to be his representative, and who can we listen to? Who is his spokesman? And lastly, of course, one of the great confusions is about the unseen, death. What is beyond? And has science now disproved, the hereafter? So with this basic lack of knowledge about these three fundamental areas, these are the areas which Islam clearly clarifies for the human being, in order that he may correct himself and come to an understanding that will make him peaceful, to know who is his Lord, where is he going, and what is his purpose in this world. Yes, you may say that other religions believe in God. And yes, we say that we believe in the same God. As Christians and Jews, we believe there is only one universal God. But yes, there is also a difference. So what is that difference? The basic difference is, in one word in Islam, Tawheed. Tawheed, meaning the science of the knowledge of the oneness and uniqueness of Allah, the Creator, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Tawheed is, in fact, the essence of the teaching of all prophets and messengers, all those who were authorized to speak on God's behalf to mankind. So we find the second important element after Tawheed is Risala, meaning the agency by which Allah communicates to us through prophets and messengers. So we find in Islam the acceptance of all God's messengers: Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, alayhi salam, and of course lastly the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And lastly, we learn about Akhirah. What is to come? What is the life beyond the death? What's going to happen to us? So then again we come to the very clear teaching of all the prophets, that all mankind beware. Correct yourself, because the life to come There are two phases, two states of existence for you. Either in Jannah, in the garden, or in Jahannam, in hell. This is the message that all prophets brought. And the perfection of that message came with the last prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's no more doubt. So why is Islam so misunderstood? It becomes almost obvious because these three basic areas which actually solve most of our problems in our ignorance of what religion means or what religion is saying to us, what Islam teaches, these three areas are totally ignored by the media. They have nothing to say about these three areas. And they dwell almost persistently on the external behavior or misbehavior, if you like, of Muslims. We are, as a nation of Muslims, in a state of degeneration. If we measure ourselves against the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you see how far away is this generation of Muslims from the teachings of Islam. Now, what the media does is to focus on this, on distortions, which unfortunately are projected through our own misaction, misbehavior, and, of course, essentially, ignoring Islam and just looking at the Muslims. That is what is happening. So that is why there is a great misconception. I know many non-Muslims who are very surprised when they learn that Muslims believe in Jesus, and there's no problem for us to say Jesus Christ, because in Quran it says Masih. Isa in Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, the Christ, Son of David. But the concept and the belief about Isa, alayhi salam, in Islam, is of course different. We believe that he was a messenger, pure messenger, sent by Allah to guide and Israel, the children of Israel, and to be the guide of humanity. The Quran says that even though he was sent with this message to the people who should have accepted it first, the Jews, they didn't accept. And there were just a few who accepted his call. And then even the Jews tried to kill him or to have him killed. But it says they didn't kill him. But God raised him to himself. And that is the miracle of the life of Jesus. The fact that we are created in order to worship him and to praise him. And all things in this universe praise the Creator. But man can be rebellious, and he can be ignorant and ungrateful. But when a man has come to his true position, his balanced position, between his physical and his spiritual, power. But his natural tendency is to worship his creator and praise him. The Quran also teaches us one very fundamental knowledge as well. That it's only Allah who knows us, who knows our hearts. And only He can help us. So Islam removes the barriers between man and God, enables him to worship God sincerely, directly, without any intermediary or any priest. That was the message of all the prophets. Not to put themselves in the way of God, but to point the way to God. And we learn that only He can judge us, therefore. Only He knows our intentions. And we learn in this chapter that there is only one path to Him. That is the straight path. So when we become Muslim, we become universal. The universal model of man, which God created in the beginning. That is the model of man who is created to worship his Lord. And any deviation from that is not Islam. And whatever religion you call it, it is not Islam. And the purpose of our creation, therefore, is to worship and to become the servants of Allah, Ibadullah. And we see in the universe everything is serving a purpose. And Allah has made the sun and the moon as a service to us, to human beings. And we in turn must be serving Allah. It says in the Quran, don't worship the sun or the moon, but worship He who created us. For you. Now we come to the religion, that problem for so many non-Muslims. Why are there so many problems in the earth? Why can't it? What is so harmful? Why can it not change the situation? Get rid of all these evil people. So then we realize, as part of this contact which we have with our Lord, it's to pass through the test. We've made an agreement that we will only worship Him. And now we will be tested. We are placed on this earth. We are surrounded by beauty, by attraction, by temptation. Now we have to follow the same path. Who is going to be successful and who is going to be a failure? This is what the whole of this life is for, to be tested. It says in the Quran, we created death and life that we will test you. So therefore, when something happens, how do we react? Do we react with faith, with confidence in our ultimate goal, or does it shake us? Does it shake our belief? So we find that, in fact, if we analyze what's going on in this earth, it's not God who causes these. It just is, of course, He has command and direct all things. But we find that it's also through our own actions that has brought upon us these calamities. Because of the spread of corruption and sin, so we find that there's a consequence to that. So it's not that we haven't got enough food in here, or there isn't enough earth or fertile land. There is, but we have political tyrants and political agendas which stop the food from getting to where it should go, to our brothers and our neighbors and our fellow human beings. It's not God who has restricted the fruits of this earth, it's man. And there's a very interesting hadith, although I haven't got the actual wording of it, but it connects directly. The fact that when people stop paying charity, then comes the drought. So it's from the actions of human beings that cause the punishment and the mystery. That is why there has to be a group who call for what is good and forbid what is wrong. These are the blessed. These are the ones, even if they are slain, in this way they are successful. And we have to follow the messenger of God. And the last messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no more messenger or prophet to come. So we have to follow the example which is set for us by the messenger of God. The perfect way of life which he is going to come. That is why as a Muslim, one of the first things you learn is the sunnah. The way of life of the prophet. How he ate, how he slept, how he talked, how he walked, how we are supposed to do business, how we are supposed to respect our neighbors, our wives, our children. Everything has been given to us in the example of the last prophet of Allah. So to sum up, life is a test, and the test is to know as to who believes and who disbelieves. The last prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the seal of all the prophets, and he was sent with the perfection of the religion which Allah has ordained for all mankind. That is Islam, meaning submission to God's will and command. And he was sent as a mercy, as a rahmah. So if we want to know Islam and not to misunderstand Islam, we must read the meaning of the Quran, and we must listen to the words of the last prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And no man, no priest, no magician can interfere with these because they have been preserved. Alhamdulillah. So whoever tries to learn Islam from other than these sources will misunderstand Islam. And Shaitan, the devil, it's his job to try and mislead people from worshipping Allah truly. That is why there is so much misunderstanding about Islam, because he is in charge of the majority, or in control of the media and the communication system. There is a saying, a wise saying, you will not know the truth by looking at the people, but know the truth, then you will know its followers. That means study Islam first, then you will know who is a Muslim. And the greatest sin is to associate to make partners with Allah, that will never be forgiven. That is shirk. All other sins can be forgiven once a person repents and decides to correct his life. At any point, no matter what he's done, he can be forgiven. And the door of mercy and forgiveness is open. So we ask Allah to forgive us all and to amend our ways and to recognize when we are going the wrong way, to go the right way. And that means we must use our sense, our intellect, our heart, and we ask for Allah's guidance, because without guidance of Allah, then there is no guidance.